go to cjsffunddrive.ca to make that donation, and give us a call over at 778-782-2573. And I would really greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM this week. And thank you so much for the donations that you've made. You can still get them in, 778-782-2573. We're here all week for Fun Drive. Take care. I've been Leslie, and I will talk to you very soon.
Donate to 778-782-2573 to get a donation link. It's all because of you that we can rise higher and reach further.
You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. Last show, we were looking at the section on The Purpose Effect, creating a personal sense of purpose. The first step in developing a personal sense of purpose is to develop. Possessing a passion for learning, growth, and improvement, individuals are curious and constantly at odds with the status quo. They yearn for new experiences, knowledge, and acumen, whether through roles, projects, or people. Team members who successfully and continuously develop answer the question, what am I doing to evolve myself? The second step in the process of creating a personal sense of purpose is define. Individuals who steadily define and redefine what they are in life and at work seize the opportunity for clarity. Determining and adjusting their disposition, their character, identity, attributes and qualities ensure they will offer themselves the chance to continuously reach new levels of success. Team members who successfully define answer the question, who am I in life and at work? The next step in creating a personal sense of purpose is decide. Every day, we have a decision to make, whether under pressure or not. How am I going to act in a given situation? We must continually choose whether to operate with truth or dishonesty, with openness or intolerance, with grit or timidity, with love or hostility. Team members who successfully decide answer the question, how will I operate and be perceived by others? The aim of this chapter is to devolve into the three behaviors, highlighting examples of people who have successfully demonstrated the what, the who, and the how that help spawn their why. Of course, this leads to an individual's personal sense of purpose. Develop your what, like Van Gogh. Studs Turkle's classic 1974 book, Working. People talk about what they do all day and how they feel about what they do. Provided an incredible insight into the mindset of team members at work. Through hundreds of interviews, Turkle was able to investigate individuals and their quest for meaning in their work, over and beyond the reward of the paycheck. Turkle found the majority of people lacked purpose in their place of work. Whether he was spending time with a miner, farmer, receptionist, press agent, publisher, truck driver, therapist, or plant manager, individuals revealed with honest candor a genuine lack of meaning in the positions where they were being remunerated. One interesting response came from Nora Watson, a writer for a company that published healthcare literature. Watson replied to a Turkle question as follows, quote, "Jobs are not big enough for people. It is not just the assembly line worker whose job is too small for his spirit. A job like mine, if you really put your spirit into, you would sabotage immediately. So, you absent your spirit from it. Your mind has been so divorced from my job, except as a source of income. It's really absurd. You throw yourself into things because you feel that important questions, like self-discipline, goals, and a meaning of your life, are carried out in your work. You want it to be a million things that it's not, and you want to give it a million parts of yourself that no one else wants there. So you end up wrecking the curve or else settling down and conforming," unquote. Did Watson possess a passion for learning and growth or a commitment to improve? Was her apathy a result of the organization, her role, or perhaps a failure to evolve? Perhaps at this point we might seek wisdom from the painter Vincent van Gogh, or in the Dutch pronunciation van Gogh. When van Gogh was starting out as a painter, particularly between 1886 and 1888 while based in Paris, he would actually reuse his painting canvases. Today, Van Gogh is revered as one of the world's finest painters. However, things were a little different in the 19th century. He would often reuse his canvases, adding a layer of white paint on top of the original painting before starting over on a different subject entirely. This layering could happen several times. To him, he was merely continuing to master his craft. To us, he was painting over brilliance. Unable to pay for new canvases, he did not stop developing and instead improvised so that he might continue building his skills and talent. As team members contemplate what they are doing to evolve their character, no canvas should ever be thought of as complete. Each painting can build upon itself. To disregard developing is never to paint at all. To resist adding new layers to one's canvas is throwing a wet towel of apathy over timidity, over the paint set, much like Nora Watson confessed to Studs Turkle. It reminds me of someone else, Celine, who continuously chooses to paint over her personal canvas of purpose and overall growth in life. Her first 10 years of employment, Celine Sillinger worked for different companies in France, Vietnam, and China, holding roles in communications, consulting, and sales, as well as general management. She also bounced between industries as well, including military defense, radio, and media entertainment. In 2001, she landed a position back in France at Sanofi Pasteur, the world's largest company to produce vaccines. Her job hunting and hopping continued, all the while remaining employed at Sanofi Pasteur. Celine to date has occupied positions in human resources, product development, and stakeholder engagement before moving to Boston in 2015 to focus on quality innovation. "I would define myself as a person under construction," she said to me. I'm always trying to enrich my experience and adding bits and pieces whenever I go. I experiment in my roles, push for uncomfortableness to eventually gain new knowledge out of each situation. Celine's background is another of continuous development in the pursuit of self-based purpose. During an interview with me, Celine raised an important point about one's personal sense of purpose. Perhaps our mindset must return to the Middle Ages, where the path to purpose is fueled by the concept of generalism. She calls herself a generalist because she believes generalism is humanism. This depiction of humanism is how Celine sees the world and helps her hone her personal definition of meaning. It is what makes her grow. It is what fuels her purpose. The opportunities to learn, the diversity of people she works with, the connection she makes, and the layers of gain, knowledge, and experience all contribute to her personal purpose. But not everyone agrees with this model, including some of the leaders at Sanofi Pasteur. It has been difficult at times living and working without specialization, Celine candidly divulged. There were lots of times I didn't feel I was good enough. People thought of my generalist background as a weakness. Generalists are frowned upon. When I asked her to provide an example of how this type of thinking affected her, she recalled a mentoring exchange. 5 years ago, she said, I tried to explain to a top leader in the company that my purpose is to create bridges between people because I can understand what they're going through. He looked at me with a crazy look, and I insisted, this is who I am. Needless to say, our mentoring sessions ended. He didn't believe being a generalist was a good career move. If there is one thing that is markedly poignant with Celine's insistence on a working life of continuous development, of painting over her canvases, it is her perseverance, grit, and gumption. Recognizing that her organization possessed a significant gender imbalance, where the majority of senior roles were occupied by men and the majority of promotions were awarded to men, Celine wrote a letter to the CEO in January of 2011. In it, she described the problem and identified 13 ways in which to remedy the situation. The letter went viral throughout the organization, and Celine also scored a lunch with the CEO. Next, she was launching a gender-balanced community to support the conversation for change. The group swelled to over 2,500 members in under 2 years. Later, Celine, while only in her 40s, became the recipient of multiple external and international awards. During the conversation with the CEO, Celine expressed her feelings about purpose. What could bring the company together might be introducing attributes such as openness, respect, and collaboration, which to Celine were important aspects to gender balance and the concepts regarding humanism. He listened and agreed that gender balance was an issue and something that needed to be solved. But the community that Celine launched, which won her all of those awards, was only one facet of change and only one element to Celine's ongoing quest for development and personal purpose. A Savvy chief quality officer at Sanofi Pasteur picked up on Celine's talent and purpose and asked if she might be interested to relocate to Boston. Today, Celine is the head of quality, innovation, and engagement, working alongside a culture change consultant on the implementation of new behavioral and collaborative practices to improve various aspects of quality across the company. Then, ideally, the model will be utilized by other parts of the organization. My passion and my purpose have turned into a dream job. I absolutely love what I do, and I hope this project will bring real change across the entire organization. Being a pragmatist of self-based purpose, Celine also laid down a personal warning shot of sorts. I am cautious and alert and mindful that the battle has not been won yet. There is still a lot of work ahead of me. I will not fall into complacency, and I need to demonstrate innovation in all my actions. No matter what, I will continue to hone myself. My purpose will remain a development journey. You have to remain as independent as possible, not letting other people develop your path. They can help with your role, team, and organization. But you should always be in charge of your purpose. When individuals possess a passion for learning, growth, and improvement, it can help deliver on their personal sense of meaning, which can also allow them to create positive benefits for the organization in which they work. Take Henry Ford, for example. Ford was constantly learning, inquiring, and investigating. Through his efforts came the innovation and perfection of the assembly line needed for mass production of the automobile. He's also credited with inventing the two-day weekend, something that materialized from his learning. Or consider Steve Jobs. Aside from his notoriously bad people management skills, Jobs was famous for asking an extraordinary number of questions inside of Apple in the product development cycle. Not to make himself look smarter, but to learn enough so that he solidified the quest to reinvent the music, phone, television, and computing markets. Ultimately, if the team member is constantly redeveloping their skills and building up their experience, painting over their canvas, in other words, the attainment of a personal sense of purpose may become smoother and clearer. It might even become beneficial to all stakeholders, too. Céline, Sanofi Pasteur, and their stakeholders clearly are reaping the benefits of her personal sense of purpose. Today, during the advertising space, I'm going to talk about the need for CJSF for ongoing funding to maintain its operations so we can continue to bring you the high-quality alternate programming that many of you have come to look for and love. And this year, I came up with the idea of the campaign called Spare Change for Change. And so we're asking all of the undergraduate students, graduate students, and staff at all levels, right up to the executive level, to come by the CJSF station and drop off any of the spare change you may have in your dorm or in your house or in your pocket, and just put it into the appropriate receptacle at the CJSF office. And we'll be greatly thankful that this will allow us to continue to bring you the high-quality programming that you have come to know and love. Thank you very much for your support. And thank you for listening to my show for the last 20 years that it's been running. We are looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Prontifract. We're looking at the chapter, Creating a Personal Sense of Purpose. Next section, define who you mean. Abraham Maslow once wrote, "It isn't normal to want what we want. It is a rare and difficult psychological achievement." But I contend team members ought to try to prove Maslow wrong. Aldous Huxley perhaps provided a positive antidote when he wrote, quote, "Knowing who in fact are results in good being, and good being results in the most appropriate kind of good doing." Kelsey Trigg, a leader in the high-tech space, was having dinner with me one night in 2011 when she shared her personal purpose statement. She did not refer to it as such, but Kelsey highlighted something that night that made me think. Do people who exhibit purpose define themselves with some sort of personal purpose statement? In the words of Huxley, does this definition aid good being and good doing? Kelsey's working life purpose was and continues to be a journey. Whether as an independent contractor or analyst working for banks and insurance companies, or as a leader, director, head, vice president, etc., in high tech, she's highly regarded. but the path to purpose came with a few bumps along the way. Although Kelsey is someone who continuously puts purpose before profit, she had to sort through what gives her true meaning in life and at her work. Her giving attitude, thoughtful character, and open mind are carefully mixed with operational zest and a high degree of business stratagem. Today, she is a consummate and balanced professional who sees her career as a journey of exploration. Over that dinner, we launched into a discussion about purpose, specifically about one's personally defined sense of purpose. Kelsey pulls no punches. Her purpose is a testament to her character and to her self-created definition of how she lives life, both at work and at home personally. Though it was likely years in the making, when Kelsey put pen to paper, the words came easily and she distilled it into the following 4 points. I decide to live my life filled with joy. I decide to be generous, open-hearted, and loving. I decide to show up wholeheartedly and to be present. I choose courage, integrity, peace, and love. This personal purpose statement has served Kelsey well. Her ability to define who she is and how she will operate, deciding to live and work through the behaviors and attributes outlined above, helped vault her to a level of work that continues to be grounded by her purpose. But Kelsey did not have this clarity in her late 30s. Her prior experiences, roles, and organizations helped her to develop enough acumen that she could reach a point in her life to define what truly mattered. Indeed, over another dinner in 2015, Kelsey divulged how important the personal purpose statement had become for her. For me, the language I decide is a very powerful, whether it's deciding how I will show up or deciding what my next step in something will be. This doesn't ensure a particular outcome will necessarily impact those around me, but it does provide a sense of grounding and choice about how I respond to my internal and external environment, no matter what my surroundings hold. When I internalized this, it brought a sense of calm for me. My happiness is my responsibility. How I show up is my choice. 2 points come to mind with respect to Kelsey. 1, defining yourself through a personal purpose statement is an important step in the quest for workplace and life purpose. 2, individuals should not be afraid to revisit the statement over time to determine if it continues to resonate with them. Jill Sharnar, Vice President of Community Affairs at TELUS, provides another example of the importance of these personal purpose statements. During the fall of 2013, I had the chance to moderate both virtual and face-to-face panels of TELUS vice presidents during the kickoff to the Leadership Now NOW program. The High Potential Leadership Development Program for roughly 700 TELUS team members each year. Jill kindly volunteered to be part of a face-to-face session held in Vancouver, as well as an online session. The panels were unscripted, unrehearsed chance for senior leaders at the company to provide feedback and insight on topics such as leadership, career, work-life balance, and health. I moderated the panels, and the last question at each session was panel members to articulate 3 words that best describe their own mantra. Not missing a beat, Jill was first to respond with the face-to-face Vancouver session with the following. I live by the be easy to mantra. Be easy to work with. Be easy to do business with. Be easy to talk to. Be easy to connect with. Just be easy to. It is important in our line of business for our team members and in our communities. Jill did not know the question was coming, but it already established her purpose statement in 3-word stanzas. During Jill's 20-year career at TELUS, she continuously has worked to develop her skills and experience, including roles in marketing, customer service, and community investment. And throughout her tenure, She's lived and worked by a simple yet powerful three-word professional mantra, be easy to. Later, over tea, she also noted, I also live by a famous quote that we have all used all the way from high school. It's published in my grade 12 yearbook, and to this day, it's hanging on the wall of my office. The quote is as follows. Open quote. To laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends, to appreciate beauty and to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition, to know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded in life. Unquote. Despite the fact that this quote has long been misattributed to Ralph Waldo Emerson by Hallmark and other misinformed companies, instead of its original 1904 writer, Bessie Anderson Stanley, you can clearly see how Jill has used this passion to help define the way in which to operate. She has developed her work self to mirror her life self, which is to be easy to and to succeed. Pet her hopeful words of Stanley. For further proof, Jill continued her quest both to define and redefine herself by applying to and being accepted to the TELUS MBA program, commencing studies in October 2015. In his seminal 1989 book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey encouraged people to create a personal mission statement within a second habit. Begin with the end in mind. While it may seem like semantics, I would prefer to call what people like Kelsey and Jill and others have defined as personal declaration of purpose. This differs from Covey's personal mission statements, for it is purpose that one is seeking to declare and then establish, not a mission. The question of a successful team member is continuously asking and answering, who indeed is creating a personal sense of purpose? Who am I in life and work? There is no right answer, nor should it be viewed as a competitive task against peers and friends. It is an ongoing definition, not a one-time commandment. It can occur in your 20s or your 90s at several points in between. Constantly redefining who is one in life and at work increases the likelihood of the purpose effect, that it will be realized. Being relentless in the quest for personal purpose is key to achieving the sweet spot. An excellent starting action is to define oneself through the personal declaration of purpose. It may change over time. That can actually be healthy. The key point, however, is to take the time to define and ultimately to know yourself.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby, and Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
Radio Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.